it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the season-ending edition of the Jim Day Podcast. We appreciate you guys hanging in there and listening all season long. And we're certainly like, this is guest-oriented, so love to thank the guys that, and gals that came on this year. We just had India Farmer Senzel, which was me like a substitute teacher trying to keep the class in order. Tyler Stevenson has been on here, Graham Ashcraft, Nick Lodolo, Nick Kral, Annie Sabo, Kyle Farmer. Hey, wait, I already mentioned him. He was on like eight times. Welcome to the Kyle Farmer Podcast, everyone. Kent Merker, Brent Suter, Sam LeCure, Brian Giesenslaw, Derek Johnson, Boog Shambi, Jeff Brantley, Tommy Thrall, Greg Rhodes. And back in spring training, Hunter Green and Joey Votto and more. And this guy who's going to help me wrap up the season, we might as well address right away that thought it was going to be many appearances. Someone kind of teased that early on. TV's John Sadak is here.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel. He's run out of people. Here I am.
That is not true, because you're the perfect guy to put a wrap on this season with, even though, let's address it, John. Early on, I kind of tossed out there, yeah, we might go in a different direction this year. We're going to have some correspondence that we're going to check in with here and there. And I asked you if you would accept a rose, Sam LeCure, the same thing. And I really didn't follow through on that, much like many of the Bachelor and Bachelorettes on TV.
That's okay. It's wilted. You know, we had that moment. We can have another moment. You know, it's okay.
You made one or two appearances at least. You helped me out with the YouTube show, Extra Bases. Check it out on YouTube, which you were on a few times, which was great. So I appreciate it that you accepting the rose, even though it's now a wilted rose. We will have to look towards the future.
You're always my teammate. I always care about you, Jim Day. Always.
All right. What was season two like for you? Because we went on the road. We had like a normal besides wearing masks in the clubhouse. That's a different story, though. It was mostly normal, though.
It was. And so for me personally, it was my rookie year. It felt that way. Yeah. To actually be in these stadiums, many of which I'd never been to in any way.
Right.
You know, even in an empty stadium, let alone to broadcast a game.
Yeah.
And to live that life, you know, that's part of the allure of this kind of job is beyond the chance to watch major league games every day is the full lifestyle that comes with it.
Yeah. And the being tired, dead tired coming off the road.
Yeah,
you've experienced in the minor leagues, but this is a different kind of grind, is it not? How is it different for you?
To be honest, in the minors, it was worse. In the minors, I would hit two walls. I would hit a wall in like the second, third week of June, and then depending upon the level and when that All-Star break was, that would kind of reset me.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'd hit another one. It depended upon the team and the year and if they're winning and personal life. And where this year, I only hit one wall, and it came very late in the season. To be honest, I found myself in late August, early September, when the minor league year in the past would have been over, saying, yeah, I can't believe we're this far in. It still feels like we're halfway.
Really?
Not to diminish it. It is fatiguing in a good way. It's a job I love. I'm not digging ditches. I'm not working on a roof.
Yes, we're talking for a living. I always say, people around me, stop complaining, would you? Goodness, stop complaining. You talk for a living.
Yeah, I mean, my brother installs and repairs gas lines. Like, that's work. You know, he's literally in a ditch with a pitchfork for like 12 hours.
Well, for 3 years, I worked as a laborer for a brick mason.
Mm-hmm.
Tonging bricks up scaffolding, stone, fireplaces, like to the moon. That was work. And that sent me right on back to college.
That's how you got so ripped.
Yeah, you know, that's why when you see those shirts out there with the Gym Day with Gym Day, yeah, that is me. That's not Photoshop, folks. That's my bod on there. Thank you for recognizing how ripped I am right now. I mean, I'm just busting out of this shirt right now. No, probably not. What was it? Was it the bus rides that were more tiresome in the minor leagues? Was it having to do, I mean, you were catered with information. It's much easier to do research. You're a huge research guy, so that had to be taxing to have to.
The hardest thing is you had to be in the office at 9 a.m. every day. You had to work the full office day. And the game was the carrot they dangle to get you to do all the other stuff.
Get to do all the other
stuff. You're cleaning the stadium. You're on tarp duty. You have to create all the game notes. You're selling group tickets. That's the tiring part. The games are fun. The games are the easy part. Yeah. Bus rides, sleeping on a bus for 10 hours, 15 hours.
See, I couldn't do it. I can't sleep on a bus. I can't sitting up. I can't sleep. I would have never made it. Would have never made it.
That was my last few years. I've been fortunate that I've had a chance to work other events for other networks, something I'm allowed to continue to do with the Reds. So I would get air miles, and I always had extra that weren't going to be used. So I would use them to avoid those bus trips my last few years and fly myself. I'd rather wake up at 5:45 in the morning and get on that commercial flight than sit in a bus for 15 hours.
Oh, there's no doubt. Oh, I don't know. I slipped in the side door of Major League Baseball. I never had to do the minor league thing. But I envy, I shouldn't say envy, I respect what you guys had to go through to get here. So,
yeah, it was a great learning experience. It's, I mean, if I could draw it up, you wouldn't want to be there as long as I was necessarily. But I do think you learn from it. I do think you grow from it. I think it gives you a sense of appreciation for everything. I mean, even for the player experience, what these guys go through. To me, they have it way harder. Way harder.
Yeah. Now, you're living the major league dream, and you said it's sort of like your rookie season because it was much more normal this year. However, let's be real. This is a tough season on the field for the Reds, and you have to talk three, maybe more, hours a night about the team. You're filling time. There are lots of losses. There are times that I'm in the camera where I'm like, better him than me because he's doing a better job than me up there. It had to be tough, though. And putting aside that this is your dream, you're living the dream, we talk for a living, we should never, ever complain. Still, it's relative. It had to be tough.
There are certain elements to it because you want to balance. You have to be honest with your audience.
Yeah.
And I hope and think that people believe that of what we delivered. I mean, if a guy's slumping, I'm going to tell you his numbers. I'm going to tell you if he's 0 for his last 20. Yeah. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to belabor it. I'm not going to kill the guy. That's just the way that I like to do it. And I've covered really bad teams before that had really bad seasons. My first year doing Princeton men's basketball, they started 2-0. Then they went to the Maui Invitational, played Duke in game one, won the opening tap, got a layup, let up like 17 unanswered. Then became the first Division I team to lose to Division II host Chaminade in like 20 years. And that was one of 25 losses or whatever they had that year. And even some of the baseball teams that I covered, more in A-ball, particularly offensively, had very similar stretches to what has happened at times this year. But to me, there's always a positive you can celebrate. Mm-hmm. I think that's the balancing act. Like, you need to be authentic. You need to, when things are bad, you need to bluntly say that. But there's a follow-up and a tone to that, that you can be factual and direct, but you can also choose to celebrate the good.
Right. Yeah. And we've tried to look towards the positive. And one of those, and you're a good guy to talk to this with about, the Reds are building within. Mm-hmm. They have flipped the switch and are now trying to stockpile talent in the minor leagues. Now it's the job to develop and get them to the major leagues and develop within. Now, you've seen this in the minor leagues, whether it's a team that you were working for or other teams. You've seen basically every level. How do you think it's going? What do you think of the plan right now?
I would say that the two rebuilds that I saw every day were with the Kansas City Royals, mm-hmm. core of the team that went to back-to-back World Series. Moustakas was on right. the team I covered, Eric Hosmer, Salvador Perez, Danny Duffy, Greg Holland, and with the Yankees. It was Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, and all those dudes. And yeah, they went to an LCS, and they're right. still part of the core of what mm-hmm. they have now. This feels similar. The pitching here is way in front of both of those respective teams. I feel great about the big three of Lodolo, Green, Ashcraft, and of Alexis Diaz. And I thought Raver San Martin, once he established his reliever role, he's a very capable guy. And I'm high on the returning guys, what Tyler Stevenson can deliver. I think Jonathan India is going to have a huge bounce back year next year. I think he's a tough dude that's playing through a lot.
Right.
But the only concern I would have legitimately is what's the gap between the pitching and the position players? There is one right now.
Right.
And that jump for outside of Ellie De La Cruz, none of the others have shown it for an appreciable, well, Christian Encarnacion Strand to some extent. But to be at AA or above is really what the scouts have always told me and what I saw as like the proving ground. And hitting or pitching at AA doesn't mean you're going to do it in the big leagues. But to a certain extent, that's where you really know the heft of a prospect. And the rough math is normally, this is from scouts. This isn't my observation or thought. It was reinforced by that, but this is from Major League scouts. One out of three of your labeled prospects, not minor leaguers, but the guys that are viewed as future big leaguers, will be a competent, qualified, capable, true big leaguer that will play an appreciable amount. Doesn't mean all-star,
right?
Big leaguer. And that's where numbers matter. And that's why I think the trades that in the short term resulted in a lot of particularly offensive suffering, I do think will pay dividends. I feel a similar vibe. I think there's enough pure numbers of guys that enough of them are going to arrive, but when do they arrive and how do they produce when they arrive? And those first 2-3 years can be their own proving ground.
Yeah. So it's unfortunately getting there is the hard part, and trying to sell that to people and I've said this on this podcast, I wish they would have gone all in on this years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be in a different spot right now, but it is what it is. I'm excited about what, just because of what you said, the volume. They had a good minor league system before, but now they've really got volume because all those guys that you've heard about, folks, they're not all going to make it. Some are going to just not make it, just not live up to expectations. But if you get 1-3,
yeah,
then you're really doing. I mean, let's think, you got 8 positions, Phil, outside of the pitcher. You got 8 positions. You've got 5 rotation spots in a bullpen. So if you got numbers, you can do it over years. And they've been drafting. I've also been impressed by the way they've been drafting the last few years. Have you?
Very much so, yes. Yeah. And I think the international signings
yeah.
will also be another big lift.
Right.
And I think they have to be.
Yeah.
I think the hit rate, bluntly, has to be higher for the Reds than for many other teams.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, as much as we look at and think of their established big league stars, when you look at the teams that have way more overall resource, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Red Sox, the Astros, they have margin for error. The Yankees can miss on Greg Bird and Rob Refsnyder, and Gary Sanchez can never fully, truly crystallize his potential because they have enough other dudes,
right.
and they can buffer and they can cover at least short-term fixes here and there.
They also stockpile in AAA. They pay players
a
major league salary and stockpile them in AAA if someone gets hurt.
They do. And they also, for years, you know, particularly when Mr. Steinbrenner, when George Steinbrenner was running the Yankees, and I could speak to them more because
you no longer have to call him Mr. Steinbrenner. You're not working for him anymore.
That's still a forever thing seared into my brain. Yeah, I worked for the big league team in addition to being with their minor league team. But he cared a lot about winning at all levels. And that's something I've spoken with Chris about because Chris came up in there.
Chris season. Who?
Chris Welsh.
Who's that?
Some puss-armed lefty.
Oh,
that,
yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, winning mattered a lot, you know, and they will spend more money and stash guys away at AAA
yeah.
so that in case of emergency break glass or they could be a trade chip.
Right.
Yeah, no matter what, there's – and they also treat their guys well in the sense that they give opt-outs. You know, the guys we would see, even Chen Ming Wong would be a AAA, or Dan Johnson, or you know, guys that were really good AAA players that had big league time and success, they would always have opt-outs that at the end of May or by July 1, if a major league team wants to give you a major league deal, you can leave. But they're being paid essentially a split deal where they're making not big league money, but way more than
way
minor
more
league
than
money.
That's what I mean by stockpiling and paying them that money.
Yeah.
Now I have a question that just popped in my mind because you mentioned Mr. Steinbrenner. Am I allowed to call him George?
Sure.
Okay. I'll go Mr. Steinbrenner. May he rest in peace. Do the Yankees have an assistant traveling secretary?
So
in real life,
they did not when that episode of Seinfeld premiered.
Yeah.
After that whole character, you know, that idea for George came about, they did, but it was fairly short-lived. And to my knowledge, right now they don't. Ben Tulowitz, who was the number three PR man there, a rough equivalent to somewhere in between Larry and Jamie here, has been their traveling secretary for a number of years. Great dude, excellent roller hockey player.
Really?
But they no longer – they did not – then George got that job, then they created the job, and then it went away.
they should symbolically have that. Even if the dude doesn't do the assignment or, you know, the workload that it – I don't know what an assistant traveling secretary would do. I take that back. I do know what they would do because it's a really tough, time-consuming job, so you should have an assistant. So they should just symbolically have that.
We should all have assistants, right? I mean, what the heck? Why not?
Hello? Bally? Hello? John needs an assistant.
Western and Southern is committed to helping make Cincinnati the best place to live, work, and play. That's why we're proud to sponsor the Strikeout Cancer Initiative. Every time a Cincinnati Reds pitcher strikes out a batter, Western and Southern makes a donation to the Barrett Cancer Center. We're all in this one together to beat cancer. Join Western and Southern in this mission to make our hometown better than ever. Western and Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Jim Day here. Nothing goes better with Reds baseball than Swift Meats.
Stay! Tenderloin! Back ribs!
Sounds like you agree. So let's gather around the grill this season to talk a little baseball and a lot of everything else. Ask for Swift Meats at your local grocer.
Good food, good moments. One great meal. Come together with Swift.
I actually do think we should do a better job as an industry of affording some form of window or opportunity to next generation of folks. And it doesn't have to be for, I mean, I would have done it for literally nothing. I worked multiple jobs for literally nothing. Today's world, that's harder and harder to do. And there's
Are you getting
good,
paid now?
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Man, I got to talk to some people about this. All right. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But, you know, I do think that particularly for us on the TV side, I would see it even more on the technical side. You know, we need the next generation of people that make TV production. And we should be.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about the announcers or the guys in front of the camera, the broadcasters. I'm not worried about those. There's plenty of those, even though they need to be taught properly. I'm worried about the production side.
Yeah.
Because through COVID, we lost a lot of people in the industry. And it's a small fraternity. It's people would think it's this huge, vast fraternity. It's not. It's a small fraternity and lost a lot of quality people who just didn't have work and just went and did something else. They haven't come back.
And so. I think there's also some misconceptions that there's a sense of belief that most people associated with all of this at every position and every level are salaried, permanent, benefited employees. The overwhelming majority of the industry is not. And that's what I try to express to aspiring young people. I don't try to scare them, but I try to tell them the reality. Like, this is what most places do. These are pay ranges from when you start, when you're in the middle, when you're at the end. And it's awesome. I love what I do. I made very little money for a very long time, and I'm okay with that. But I want you to fully understand what it is before you go all the way in.
Yeah. Now you're living in that gated community with
I'm not in Jim Day territory.
Living on a reservation there in north suburb of Cincy. No, you're way beyond me. I'm just a lowly podcast host.
You're Batman.
Don't tell anyone, John.
This is a running thing that's gone on all year. He also has another nickname on the bus for the seat that he has at the rear of it. That's probably not fit even for a podcast, but
we can't say the name, but it does have to do with one of my alter egos. Folks, all right, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm Batman. All right. I'm Batman. Sorry. Batman's getting a little old. It's a little tougher to fight crime. But at night, late at night, I'm fighting crime. I also have another alter ego, which I haven't fulfilled yet, and that would be a wrestling manager.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I want that to happen one day. So I am friendly with Tony Schiavone, who former wrestling announcer with WCW forever. He's announcing again now, and he does the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was the AAA Braves announcer in Gwinnett, suburban Atlanta.
Yeah, we saw him many times. When we go to Atlanta, he would be there a lot of times.
Because and back in the day, he was a WSB, which is the WLW of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I think he might be able to hook you up in
some way. Wow, you see, you need to put in a call into Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone! See, every time I hear that name, I think of Dusty Rhodes. Tony Schiavone!
The American dream! Jet setting, limo riding.
Yes. But I need to be a bad guy manager. But I need to be a good guy first, set up the heel turn. We've talked about this heel turn many times. By the way, folks that don't know, a heel is a bad guy in wrestling terms.
You know, I'm just spitballing here, okay? This here is not go. Scripted. Here we did not talk about this in advance. Why don't we try to get Tony on your pod?
Ooh.
Have two worlds meet, and then, we can start to get the wheels in motion of consideration for, some moonlighting as a pro wrestling commentator manager
Deal.
Of some sort.
Have you heard his podcast?
Yes. It's a little more off color.
It's a little racy.
Yeah,
it's a little.
That's what he was like when I was in the booth every time.
But yeah, if you have this, this sugar coated world of Tony Schiavone. The first time you listen to the podcast, you're like, oh, wow, okay. Oh, that's a little abrasive. Oh, that's aggressive.
He's entertaining.
It is. Yeah, he is. It is adult humor all the way, so be warned. So I would have to tell him that this one is family-friendly, or at least we try to be family-friendly, although Farmer and Indian Sinzel tried to poo-poo on last week.
I must say, I chuckled the entirety listening to that episode.
Well, it was India just like giggling like a little kid through the whole thing. I couldn't keep him in check.
Yeah, the substitute teacher... That was spot on. That was exactly what it was. Should have just handed out dittos. Watching a movie today, guys.
We got to do this Tony Schiavone thing. Because people are probably sick of me on TV anyway, so they need me to go get a new gig. So
I never want you to leave. I have to tell you, folks, honestly, so when games end, and I speak even more specifically about the road. Home is kind of a different dynamic and how everything's structured. But on the road, we generally take the bus.
Yeah.
We're usually on the same bus going to and from every day.
Yeah.
And so after the game, when I make my way downstairs and I get to the bus, if you're on there or shortly thereafter on there, it lightens my day no matter what.
Oh, come on.
It does, because you make me laugh all the time.
Oh, well, likewise. We have a few laughs. We have some similar humor going on.
And there are certain catchphrases, many of which would require a lot of other explanation, but there's certain running jokes that just constantly come up, and I think they get funnier every time. I really love them.
When it's all said and done and I'm able to do a different podcast, let's say, more along the lines of Tony Schiavone's, we'll talk about said things without throwing people under the bus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of secrets that I know of in the clubhouse and stuff that I just have to take to my grave because I'll lose the trust of the clubhouse. So, but
yeah, I wouldn't express that on the podcast. No, that's where you are somebody that I think is a confidant for a lot of people. You have that nature about you. People tell you things.
It's just longevity, I think.
Yeah, but I also think there's a relatability. You don't take yourself too seriously. You know, you're often self-deprecating in a sincere
Always.
Way.
Always.
You know, it's... But there's a lot of truth to
that. I'm
a
tremendous slouch, John.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all aspiring to. I mean, literally, I'm slouching while I'm talking to you in this recording booth that I didn't know existed yes. in a super secret part of the stadium.
Yes. Folks, the voice of God, Joe Zerhuizen. You hear him as the PA announcer at Great American Ballpark for several years now. I call him the voice of God. I'm not even going to try it. I don't have the pipes. I can't do it. I can't imitate him. But he has an office that they kind of built around. They built this other different place. So he's got it is a secret entrance. It is fit for Batman.
I mean, Jim is gripping literally at the wall, yes. and I think he's joking, yes. and the wall opens.
Yes, that's the truth. That's the truth. You're like, I'm walking John over here. I'm like, we're going into Josie's little studio here. And he's like, okay, figuring we're just going to go into a normal office. And then right in the middle of the hallway, I did. You have to find where the door is, and you have to get it open. You were amazed.
That was – I'm going to – when we leave here, I'm just going to stare at it and just run my fingers along the wall.
Well, now you know if you need some me time, if you need to get away, mm-hmm. just say – just text Josie, hey, man, can I go in your little hidden studio? The Batcave.
This is
like the Batcave.
It is. And you can actually see out, too.
Yes.
So wait, can they see in? What do they see from the outside of this window?
They just see those blinds, and they're black. So there's no... Although I turned the lights up. Joe Z normally has some mood lighting going on like that right
yeah.
there. But that's a little creepy. that type of mood lighting, but... Probably sounds better. I mean, then we're in a sound studio, so hoping this sounds good, people. We're all good. Where was I going next, John? Boy, we got off track, and I love that, by the way. That's the best part of this podcast is I sit down, and I don't know where it's going. And we just get off on tangents, which is just great. Tony Schiavone, if you're listening out there, let's do this. I've already got the whole storyline mapped out. So I'm ready to go, ready to rock and roll anytime you are. Triple H as well. You out there, Triple H? I'm ready to go, man.
What would your outfit be?
That's the only thing. See, they would be in charge of that, yeah. I'm sure. They would tweak it. But it would be probably a suit, some type of anti-whatever, you know.
Now, one thing that I don't know if I've heard you address on this podcast, when did you become boys with John Cena?
I'm not boys with John Cena. That is a misconception. I was asked about it. I appeared on the, what's that show called? The Rally?
Yeah.
On Bally? Yeah, and they asked me because John Cena started following me on Twitter. Now, people, he follows about 1,000 people at least, maybe 2,000. He's got millions of followers, but he follows 1,000 to 2,000 people. And I don't even know if he runs that account. But he started following me, and I took a screenshot of it like, hey, John Cena. I can see you is what I posted. But he is really good. He's boys with Sean Casey. Mm. And Casey, shameless plug, go back in the archives to the Casey episode. You want to hear some great John Cena stories behind the scenes? Casey at wrestling matches and with Cena, out drinking with Cena? Great stories. Go check them out. I don't know if that has it to do with anything. I don't know if he... I'm not even sure he runs. I mean, it's a lot of people don't even run their social media accounts. I have
no
idea.
Do you run yours?
I do, but I don't post very much anymore because
that's why you need an assistant.
True, but there's got to be a lot of trust going on there because you get abused. People like to read what they want to read and hear what they want to hear. So
yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, but I usually mainly use it for a promotional tool, which is really bad. I used to be a good follow. Not as many. Maybe I have to. Maybe that's one of the goals of the offseason, to be a better social media follow. But anyways, to answer your question, we're not boys. I've never met him. But he followed me on Twitter, and I made probably a bigger deal out of that than it needs to be. But Casey and him are boys. So.
Maybe you could manage them as a tag team.
Now we're talking. See, now me and Casey are good friends. We text and talk a lot, all the time. In fact, I just got one from him. So, yeah. Yeah. Casey would be down. He's in shape now. Man, you looked at him recently. He's lighter than what he played. He would be down for that. In fact, Casey and Danny Graves, I think, were in a local match here when they were players.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, yeah, they did a local match here. Him and Danny Graves.
The baby-faced assassin?
The baby-faced assassin.
Did he go off the top rope?
I was not at the event. The only thing I saw was their entrance, which was great, because they were strutting in like they were the Freebirds from back in the day, which was great. Yeah, I would love to manage John Cena. See, there you go, because he's a good guy, and I could manage John Cena and then do the heel turn at WrestleMania.
Yep. Foreign object thrown into the ring by Jim Day.
Yeah. And, you know, I dream of Jim Ross saying one day, "That's Jim Day's music. What's he doing here?"
It's the Jim Day podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's your favorite stadium? You went to, I know you didn't get them all this year. We're eventually going to get to them all, but that's a big question by fans. That's like one of the top three questions always asked. Cities and stadiums.
So often I have trouble making decisions on things like that, but specifically for a stadium, easy. Not including Great American Ballpark.
What a qualifier. That's
not including
such a company,
the Red Zone
man.
Stadium. Of the stadiums I've been to, there could be another one that might supersede it. San Francisco, not close.
No, they're not going to top that one.
It's amazing. The view is amazing. The scent of the garlic fries is amazing.
It?
The fans are into it.
The
and
atmosphere.
They know, it's amazing. It's
cool,
great.
Coolness in the air.
It's
the,
great.
Everything about it's great.
It feels like when you think of like big league.
Yeah.
In every way. It's flush with fans. It's got an amazing spectacle of even beyond the water. Just the idiosyncrasies of the giant Coke bottle and the glove. And it just, it has an identity.
Right.
I know what, if somebody says being at a San Francisco Giants game, I now can totally identify exactly what that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's my favorite. People ask what the favorite stops are, and it's that in San Diego. I like the stadium in San Diego, too, but the city, I think we share this. It's a great place to go.
I love it. I went there for the first time in 2005. I stayed for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We stayed in Encinitas. Then we were on the hotel circle, and I fell in love with Greater San Diego.
Yeah.
I would also say we didn't go there with the Reds yet, but I have been to Target Field where the Twins play.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Awesome stadium. I am curious what it's going to feel like, and I would assume for you even more so, because you have years of experiencing big league travel the way it's been, with divisional play getting diminished so much and not having that third trip to Pittsburgh, Chicago, St. Louis, and going to some
other city.
Flying
miles are going to be longer. The trips are going to be longer.
But you're going to have that variety. So like, how do you balance that?
I like the new schedule.
Yeah.
I'm for it. I mean, if we were traveling commercial, we're spoiled, folks. We travel on the team plane. So it's going to be more. It's going to be a little different. There's going to be some trips in there where it's just one city.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like those sometimes, though.
The best thing about a there and back series is I can bring the weekender. I don't have to bring the big bag.
Yeah.
And I can fit my workout clothes and my on-air clothes and my lounging around clothes and a tiny little weekender, and I'm good.
All right, let's go into this now. What's essential that you have to travel? Because you not only have a weekender and a big bag, you look like one of the players because you're traveling a PS5.
That's true. That's true. It's so I have my PS5. My PS5, I do game. And I love the games. I'm playing Cyberpunk 2077 the most right now. But I also use it for my other entertainment. I have, you know, Netflix, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus are all right there on the machine. And then I use it the most for MLB.TV. One of the things I do to prepare for a game is I always watch whoever the opposing starter is, I watch his innings from his last start.
Yeah, that's a smart way to do it because no one knows more than the local broadcasters.
Yeah.
That's where you get the most information.
And that can help inform me then that if I go talk to Boog Sciambi about a Cubs pitcher, well, I already know what he said on the air, so I have launching points for like, well, you said this, what did you see? Or what was the follow-up from that? Yeah. Or where was the starting point? How did he get to there?
Right.
And I can tell a better story.
Yeah. All right. I told you I was going to keep you 20 minutes. We're 34 minutes in. I'm sorry. Wrapping this up. Next season, how many of these – It's still going to be a gap. I mean, we're sitting here. We don't know what the Reds are going to do in the offseason. We have no inside information of if they're going to be active in the free agent market, trades, whatever. But there's going to be a gap before some of these younger position players get here. I would imagine you're in the camp of let's not rush these kids. When they're ready, they're going to be ready, correct?
Yes, I would decidedly agree. And I think the – you know, nobody's going to know the prospects as well as those that are coaching and evaluating them every day.
Yeah.
And if they do believe that's any one particular, there's a lot of them now. So there could be one or two that they feel very confident based upon whatever they do in the offseason, whether it's fall league or winter ball or whatever, and whatever they accomplish in spring training, we should give so-and-so a shot. If they feel confident in that, I would believe that, and I would say, let's give it a shot. But generally, yes, I think guys kind of tell you when they're ready. And I also think there is value in many teams that I've seen rebuild having a bunch of those prospects together and winning together in the minors before they come up together.
Yeah,
I think there is something to learning how to win. And yeah, you know,
no question. You're preaching to the choir in that. I've been talking about that for years, man, that they there hasn't been enough winning as a team in the minor league levels in the organization. And it is important. If you've got a guy that – now they're grooming relievers. Back in the day, it used to be, oh, the guys in the bullpen are going to be guys that didn't make it as starters. And that still is true, but now they're really grooming relievers. So how is a reliever going to know how to get out of a tight situation and when the team needs to win other than doing it?
Yeah, and I think if you look at teams that have rebuilt and done well in the last couple of decades, you look at the Braves, you look at the Cardinals, you look at the Rays, you look at the Giants, you look at the Royals. They
all win at the minor league
They
level.
Did. And that means sometimes you hold one or two guys back or you push one or two guys up a level and try to bunch them together.
No question about it. Those, you know, we love history around here, and rightly so. That 1990 team that won it, all those guys came up together in the Red system. Oh, they all came up together, besides the guys that they added, you know, later, the Randy Myers, et cetera. Those guys were all in the minor leagues together and won together and got used to playing together, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm excited that these group of guys are together. The Ellie De La Cruz is playing with Matt McClain. They're mixing in Noelvé Marte, Christian Encarnacion Strand, these pitchers, Williamson, the young Petty kid, and the Connor Phillips. I mean, we go on and on and on, but these names, they're all playing together. And there's a lot to be said for that.
So yeah, and I don't think we'll see many or maybe any at the start of next year, but I do think we'll start to see some at some point during next year.
Yeah. The big question is going to be, and I can see it coming, we want Ellie De La Cruz now!
Yeah.
He has yet to play in AAA. It's been done before. And it's been done, and they've rushed guys, too. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how he does in the Dominican Winter League. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Fall League. But I'm, above all, looking forward to it. I love a young, hungry team, man, and I think that's what we're going to have here going forward. So I'm looking forward to it.
I love it, man.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for you. Thank you for being a good teammate, colleague. Thanks for coming on this show. Thanks for accepting a rose that's wilted. And
it's got a new bloom. Look at that. It's freshly come to life.
Biggest thanks goes out to you listeners out there. I appreciate it as we wrap up this season of podcasts. What the future holds, I have no idea. They could can me tomorrow, folks. I have no idea. So I'm either going to be sent on down the road, I'm going to be a wrestling manager, I'm going to be selling cars, or I could be back next year doing the podcast. We'll see. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be talking to you down the road in some capacity.
He's Batman.
I will be fighting crime. Batman, Batman getting a little old. Batman getting a little gray on the side, on top. I'll be fighting crime. You can book it.
I love you, Jim Day.
Thank you, John. I love you, too. Wow, what an admission I just made. Can we get some violin music? Cue up the music. So cinema. Seriously, folks, thank you. Appreciate it. And we will see you on down the road on the Jim Day Podcast. See you.
Baseball prison.